We are delighted to have Mrs. Amat Al-Aleem Al-Sussour participate in this interview for IPI's Global Observatory. Mrs. Amat Al-Aleem served as Assistant Secretary General, Assistant Administrator for the UNDP, and Director of its Regional Bureau for Arab Studies between 2006 and 2012. In her native Yemen, Al-Sussour had served in various leadership positions, which include, among others, Yemen's First Minister of Human Rights, Ambassador to Denmark, Sweden, and the Netherlands, Undersecretary in the Ministry of Information, Chair of Yemen's First Women's National Committee, and Head of Yemeni Women's Union. Welcome, Mrs. Amat Al-Aleem. If I can start with asking you that many observers claim that the future stability of Yemen is beholden to the national dialogue. Can you explain to our listeners what is the purpose of the national dialogue, how it will work, and what makes it so critical to Yemen's future?
Thank you very much, and thank you for IPI for this opportunity. You are absolutely right. The national dialogue's importance lies on the fact that it is the one which will hopefully lead to stability and peace in Yemen. And that could be done, of course, through the agreement, not necessarily 100%, but at least on the majority sides of the participants, whereby at least 90% of those who will attend this conference, they have to agree on five major issues, including the issue of rewriting and drafting a new constitution, which will, of course, then specify and form the new political system, which will concentrate, of course, its effort on building a democratic society, a society that respects its citizens, where the citizens also participate fully for the success of themselves and also for their country fellow men and women. So the National Dialogue Conference, in my opinion, truly is a major event that Yemen is preparing itself to participate in. And if you tell me what will happen, God forbid, if the national dialogue doesn't really succeed, the answer will be definitely very difficult in the sense that there shouldn't be any answer except peace and stability. And peace and stability will only be a result of the discussion on all the issues, including not only the buildup of the structure of the system, meaning the political system, but also it will discuss the issues of the Southern Movement, the issues of Saada, the issues in relations to the transitional justice and the preparation really for a country that respects the human rights of its citizens. And in addition to that, there will be, of course, a very important and discussion in depth on the future regarding not only the political well-being, but also it will have to discuss all the tensions that Yemen suffered from, including the northern Saada issue. And in addition to that, of course, the whole philosophy behind economic and social development, which will have to be really at the essence of all the other discussions, especially because of the nature of the challenges which face Yemen, and in particular, the poverty issues, the scarcity of the water, and other major vital issues.
It seems in order to have such a successful national dialogue, there is a need for inclusivity, which leads me to the question of inclusivity. And we have heard that the Yemeni Nobel laureate Tawakkul Karaman had recently announced that she is boycotting the national dialogue in opposition to the representation of youth, women, and civil society in the dialogue. Do you think the national dialogue is adequately inclusive and representative of the key players in Yemen?
I can say that the representatives of the different stratas and political parties which have agreed to participate in the upcoming National Dialogue Conference are actually those who have been represented also in the membership of the Preparatory Committee of the National Dialogue. Now, as you all know, when two of the independent youth resigned from that committee on the backdrop of what they called the intervention of the international organizations, meaning that the intervention of the UN representative in deciding on the percentage issue, which was, of course, a very thorny issue anyway. And I'm sure Yemeni political parties, especially the ones, as I said, who were in membership of this committee, actually, they did not give themselves enough time to discuss that issue and rushed immediately to the solution, which they found was going to take less time. So they decided to ask the special envoy of the Secretary General on his take on that issue. And they told him, whatever you're going to tell us, the whole political parties who are sitting around this table will agree on it. So the youth who were really present at that meeting rejected that and they resigned over that particular incident. And they started actually from before that exact day of saying that this preparatory committee doesn't unfortunately include fully the very meaningful actors who should be really sitting around the table. This is a very serious point because also it is the same issue which will leave behind its roundtable discussions some of the very also important elements of the Yemeni society, including, for example, the roles of the tribes, the representation of certain important governorates. And I have said this morning, all governorates are important, but in Yemen, because of the nature of the political and the social system, you have seen during the last few years some exclusion, if you will, in terms of development projects, political participation, and even other economic opportunities for very rich governorates, including Marib governorate, Al-Jouf governorates. And as a matter of fact, the population of these two governorates in particular are in an open war with the regime and with the government in Sana'a, which doesn't make any sense because if you really want to bring every actor to the table of discussion, you have to include even those who carry a totally different view from yours. And because if these elements, if these members of those political inclinations are not really present, they will not be obliged to be part of the solution. So it is very important really to find a solution for this. The president until now still have about 62 seats to decide on. I'm sure he will put in his mind this very important as well, lack of representation. But I think then it will require him and the government as well to do some very serious preparatory work outside formal preparations for the national dialogue, throughout the reach out to the different sheikhs of the tribes, throughout the engagements with some religious scholars, throughout the inclusion of some businessmen, especially those who are very influential, who have also participated in the economic development of Yemen. Because in all these elements, it is actually good and better also for Yemen to have everyone to come out and to agree on the outcome of that report. As a matter of fact, I expected Tawakkul Karman to resign from the preparatory committee because it was also from the beginning very clear those who were represented in the preparatory committee, they were only those who have been signatories for the GCC initiative. But it has not included, unfortunately, this treaty did not include those who were not really at the signature of this initiative. And that doesn't mean, you know, it's only those people who are sitting around the table who can represent Yemen. You have a vast majority of Yemenis who are not members of political parties. Because, you know, even the political life and the very organized political life of Yemen is a very recent one. And the vast majority of the Yemenis are young. While they are going to represent 20% of the membership of this committee, of this national dialogue, Yemenis in general are young. You have at least 65% for all Yemenis who are really under the age of 25. And you cannot only pretend that by 20% of the entire presentation that you will be able to speak of issues related to the youth. It's a very young society, as you can tell. The same thing is applicable for women. Now, the woman issue has been sorted out through the 30% quota, which have been imposed literally by some of the members of the preparatory committee. if this issue of inclusion is not going to be dealt with, I'm sure it will have some consequences on the level of the seriousness of the outcome of the national dialogue. Maybe the National Dialogue Conference will still take place, even with this number of representations. But will it be truly then agreed upon by the vast majority of people who were not there? I doubt it. So it's very important really to tackle this issue through other mechanisms. Could be also informal mechanisms, not only through those who will be attending in Sana'a or any other governorate within the number of 565 people. Yemen, in my opinion, is much larger, and it is very important as well to sort out some of the issues related to the level of the insecurity, if you will, because it is the same reason that will lead to any security proposal. You cannot ignore the fact that you have so many little wars, and some of them were big wars against certain armed groups, including the AQIP. And in the past as well, there was 6 wars against the Houthis in the north. You have also currently campaign, military campaign against certain insurgents or some members of those armed groups. If you are not capable truly of sorting out these issues as well through peaceful means and preparing these people and demobilizing them and reintegrating them into the civil way of thinking, that will continue to be as well a very difficult challenge for the outcome of the national dialogue. This is also part of the inclusion issue that Tawakkul has been referring to. Although I was thinking that she might have resigned earlier and not waited that long.
Obviously, the flip side of inclusivity is perhaps overrepresentation. And a lot of people have been concerned that former President Adi Abdullah Saleh, who still heads the General People's Congress Party, and along with a few other partners, have 112 delegates in the 565-seat conference, which is the largest bloc of any other blocs. What role do you think the former president will play and his party in the National Dialogue Conference?
First of all, it is important to differentiate between former President Saleh and the role that he continues to play, and between the role in which the General People's Congress should continue to play in the political life. It is a dilemma, and it is also a challenge even for President Hadi, who is currently the president of Yemen, but at the same time, he is the vice president of the General People's Congress. And we know the level of communication that exists between the two men. This is only to simplify the difficult situation that both are in. And remember when the Americans occupied Iraq, and there was a big talk about de-Ba'athification. I hope this idea will not really be present in the discussion when it comes to the GPC. But I think on the other hand, and not just because of this very special relationship between the GPC and the current president and the former president, because both men are belonging to the same party and the complexities which will be emanated from this very special relationship, but also because of the transitional justice, because of the issues of the national reconciliation, there will have to be, of course, another important element which should be added and dealt with, in my opinion, even before we go to the National Dialogue Conference. And this is the law of the transitional justice, meaning that political parties have to put their political ambitions and disagreements aside, and they have all to agree on truly trying to discuss the crimes of the past the way they should be dealt with, in a way to lead to a very new page of political relations between the different factions. As you know, the Yemeni society has inherited, like so many other human societies as well, so many political revenge issues, wars, differences, even civil upheavals. All these issues can only be dealt with on the same level of justice, because the initiative has dealt much on the peace issue, not necessarily on the expense of justice, but it seems like it did not really put the emphasis that it deserves when it comes to the justice issue. So this is a very important thing. And also the government of Yemen has to be able as well to address the major violations against the demonstrators and it will have to be able really to continue to present itself as government for the entire Yemeni population, regardless of the Yemenis' different political or social background.
What role do you think regional and international actors play to ensure the successful execution of the national dialogue?
First of all, I think the international support, which is, of course, another track, if you will, of the national program, that has to continue truly to be, in my opinion, a guarantor of the entire political process. The international support cannot be and shouldn't at all be viewed or seen as a local part, or shouldn't really interfere with this very sensitive national issue. It is important, though, for the international actors to continue their support on the terms of the technicalities, the preparation, the support, the cooperation that Yemen would need. And perhaps also, and most importantly, to really save Yemen's deteriorating economy more than just tackling the political issues in absence of the economic issues. Now, having said that, it is also the duty of the national government to truly clarify these roles, where it respects as well the many questions, including questions of sovereignty, questions of the rights of its own citizens, but on the same time, it should really embrace the international community's support politically, economically, without sending the wrong message that Yemenis are not really in control of their business. You know, the issues of the national dialogue will only be successful if it's truly emanated from the real desire of the Yemeni people. All Yemenis, regardless of their features, background, economic class, social place, and otherwise, it is very important truly for the Yemenis to have this entire process under their own responsibility, and to really also use the very rising as well level of support that they're getting either from the United Nations and the Security Council or beyond. But to me, it is very important to have this political process in track while you have also the economic track going hand in hand without any separation. Otherwise, the gap will be widened and the expectations will be more. And unfortunately, then the failure will be maybe the most outcome of any process like that.
The Security Council continues to warn against spoilers of the national dialogue and the political transition. Who are the spoilers that could derail the process, and how can we be sure to keep it on track?
It is natural at any political process that you'd have those who are in favor or those who do not really want the process to take over and to move forward. Yemen is no exception. There is no way you could think of any society where you would find 100% full-fledged support by every single Yemeni to a process like this, especially when we are talking about a political process where you have so many diverse political as well interests, and especially in a country like Yemen, and especially in a country where there are also some regional influence and international influence by the nature of the existence of the Yemeni country by itself, even geographically speaking, because of its importance for the international route for trade, because of the relationship with the neighboring countries who are very rich and oil-producing countries, and because of the new issues rising from the fact that there is infiltration for the AQIP, which is viewed by the whole world now as a major challenge. And then how all these members could be really spoilers of the national dialogue. Could be also some elements of the former regime. Could be elements from some of those who are still in the regime, because the Yemeni revolution and uprising was not similar to those which have taken place in other places, including in Syria or Libya, meaning that the whole political structure hasn't changed fully. There was some change and there was some stagnancy as well. This is why you would find those who have lost interest, who have lost some positions, who have lost some power, definitely they will continue to aspire not to really let this process to continue to its direct end. Again, the answer would be by including everyone at this process. There shouldn't be any ceiling or any taboo or any negation for any elements that really shows the interest of being part of this dialogue. And why not to expand the participants? It's not at the end of the day a holy book that we are going to deviate from when we change for the better of the Yemenis' engagement, and also maybe extending the time in which Yemenis would need to discuss all these important issues. Why should we only make it 6 months in a country with all these complexities? In other countries with maybe less complexities, the transitional period was taken 4 to 6 years. In Yemen, it's unfortunately designed to complete the whole work in less than a year. I mean, especially the second stage of the transition, because, yes, the first stage of the transition has ended with the election of the president and with him taking some very serious, also, and tough decisions in the military restructure and also security restructure. But the national dialogue and the whole concept of national reconciliation, commissions for truth, just turning the page. It is not easy for a country like Yemen to just turn another page, unless it's meant just to do a very superficial work. And in that case, that wouldn't be the answer for really the serious issues that Yemen face.
And finally, what is your outlook on the likely outcomes of the national dialogue and the ongoing process of political transition in Yemen?
We have to continue to hope that Yemen would finally set the way straight for its own future by the full engagement of the whole citizenship of Yemen on equal basis of the right to discuss any issues based on patriotism. And, you know, every Yemeni is a patriot, and that should be the start. Although Yemen truly is challenged at this very particular time, and especially with the absence of a major participant in this whole dialogue process, which is the Southerners. The Southerners in general, although you have some members who are already there sitting on the preparatory committee and some are sending some names of their participants, but it truly is very, very crucial, really, for the Southern Harak to be fully engaged if they wish to, because the other answers would be truly a devastating end, unfortunately, for the question of unity in particular. And unfortunately, today's world doesn't allow for more adventures and new experiences in a place where you seldom had a sense of stability. So it's very, very important for all of us to continue to hope that there will be, again, this common rationale between all of us, which will lead, hopefully, Yemen to move from this very difficult transition. And again, I think we should hope that with the engagement of the Yemeni youth and women, that we will see a different level of transition. Who knows? Maybe it will be a totally different and successful transition if truly all these elements who have hoped really for the change and who made the change actually through very peaceful means.
With that message of hope, we end the interview, and we thank you so much on behalf of IPI for giving us this interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much also for IPI, for yourself, for your dedication, and truly for giving me this opportunity to come to the IPI and speak to the wonderful people who joined us this morning.